Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The work of a local cheesemaker has received major recognition. Let's go in-depth with Lois Reichert with Reichert's Derriere, Knoxville. So Lois, how long have you been making cheese?
This is my 10th year, believe it or not, as a licensed cheesemaker.
Did you experiment a little bit before
that? Yeah, at least 5 years before that. So before I felt that I had anything good enough to actually sell.
So it took 5 years?
Most people it doesn't, but I have high expectations. And so if I was going to do it, I wanted to make sure it was going to be done right. So I took a lot of time and learned not just from books, but from pushing the limits on either end to see how far I could go and what would happen. So, which doesn't make a lot of sense if you're not a cheesemaker. But it has to do with time and temperature and acidity and things like that. So it helped me learn the chemistry of it. Let's put it that way. So,
well, and tell people why you got into it.
Well, Ben, our son, who's 20, almost 21 at Iowa State University, was a very allergic, intolerant, whatever, child of a lot of foods. And I nursed him for 3 years, but then we needed a milk source of some type. And my husband had milked goats before, and he wanted to get some dairy goats, but I really did not want to do that. I just thought, we don't have time for this. We were taking care of his elderly parents, so I just said, fine. I finally gave in, but all I'm going to do is take care of the milk. You're going to take care of everything else. Well, and then I fell in love with the goats, and then it became my project real quickly. But goat milk worked for Ben, works for a lot of children that don't tolerate cow's milk, and that's how we got started.
But you fell in love with the goats.
Yes.
What's special about goats? And you have certain kinds, I presume.
I do. I've had almost every breed, but after having a lot of those breeds, I've really settled on the La Manchas, which are the kind that look funny because they don't have any ears. And no, I don't cut their ears off. And no, their ears didn't freeze off. That's just how they were bred. They're the only American breed of dairy goat. All goats are smart. La Manchas happen to be very smart. I like that about them. So I enjoy their intelligence. I enjoy their antics. They're very affectionate creatures, and they're really just kind of like dogs, but they're ruminants. So it's kind of a funny story. When Jack was taking care of the goats, still before I started taking care of the goats, he was on vacation, and I went up to feed them or whatever, and there was a mom that had had babies. I didn't know that this was going to happen. She refused to nurse them. I hadn't learned to milk yet, but Jack was gone for a week. So I had to figure out how to take care of that goat. She was a first-time milker, what we call a first freshener, so she hadn't been trained yet either. So we trained each other, and that goat and I became so close. It was a rough couple of weeks, but once we got through that, the trust that we had developed, I know that sounds silly, but it's very true. The trust that we had developed was such a bond, that was the beginning of it for me. So, and I have a wonderful drawing of her and I together that just really illustrates the close bond that we had. And that was the beginning of it for me when I realized just how sweet, smart, and affectionate they are.
And so for those of us that don't know goats, is it sort of like a dog?
To me, it is, absolutely. Now, it also depends on how they're raised. And I raise all of my kids on the bottle right from the beginning. It's a lot more work, but I believe it prepares those goats that are going to be dairy goats to be better dairy goats. They learn to trust people. They learn to like people. They'll follow you. They learn their name. So when it comes time for them to get up on the milk stand, it's not really a stressful experience. They trust you already. They like people. They learn from watching the others. Kids raised on their moms, although it's a beautiful thing to watch, I like to watch that. Their mothers are protective, and kids end up a little bit scared and skittish of people. So it's much more stressful for them to learn the whole milking routine. And lots of times, the one time I let kids stay on the moms, those goats had to be chased and caught to take in and be milked, which is stressful for both the goat and the person, because you're out of patience by the time they come. So, you know, I guess if people have just had goats and they're allowed to live naturally without much human contact, they're not going to be as affectionate as mine. But they're still very smart animals. And if you take the time to get to know them, you'll like them. I'm not biased, though.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lois Reichert with Reichert's Dairy Air. Well, what kinds of cheese do you make?
Primarily soft cheeses. Goat milk is especially good for soft cheeses. The same reason that people can't tolerate cow's milk, tolerate goat milk, means that you get a softer cheese. There are different types of casein, and cow's milk has what's called A1 casein. It's a big, strong protein that bonds strongly, so cow milk gives you a good, strong, firm curd when you acidify it. Goat milk has what's called A2 proteins. They're smaller, a little more fragile, so they're much more easily digested. They do have cows now that produce A2 proteins. They're bred for that, but you have to look. But that same type of protein means that the cheese is delicate, soft, super creamy. The basic fresh Chèvre is just a soft, fresh cheese. That's our basic thing that most people want. I make a feta. When I have the sheep milk available, it's half goat and half sheep, which gives it a really nice traditional Greek flavor. And then I make the surface-ripened European-style cheeses. Those are the ones I really enjoy making. The Robiola, which is the one I learned to make in Italy, has what's called a geotrichum rind. So that is a soft curd ladled in molds. The rind grows and then sell it that way. The rind adds flavor and also helps. It will get super liquidy, runny, if you like that too. And then the one that won the award at ACS this year is an ashed bloomy rind cheese made with sheep and goat milk. That, again, is another kind of soft cheese. The ash is a vegetable ash that's used in traditional French cheese making. It helps the bloomy rind, which is the kind of rind that is on a brie or a camembert, that white fuzzy rind. It helps prepare the surface for that growth. So that's what's called an ashed bloomy rind cheese. It has mushroomy notes. Again, it'll break down from the outside in and get really soft and creamy and runny underneath the rind.
Now, you mentioned ACS. What's that?
Oh, it's part of my everyday, so I don't think about it. The American Cheese Society. That is an organization primarily for cheesemakers, cheesemongers, cheese enthusiasts, cheese educators. It's a large organization. The conference, their national annual conference, was held in Des Moines this year, just last week. So there were about 1,200 people here from all over the country, from all over the world. Had a couple of people from France on a tour of my farm here too, with the tour that came through. The conference rotates every year. Last year it was in Providence. It'll be in Denver next year. So it was kind of a big deal to have it here, and we've been looking forward to that and preparing for it for over a year. The Iowa cheese community, you could say.
And what awards did you win?
I won a first for that ashed gloomy rind cheese. I call that a torta astrati, which just means layer cake in Italian. There are three layers with ash between, so it looks like a cake. It's a square. So that won a first in its category. And then I got a second for my feta. This was the biggest competition in the history of ACS. There were over 1,800 entries.
Wow.
So it was, I felt very honored.
Well, I guess best cheese
in that category. Yeah, I didn't win best of show or anything like that. But I guess to me what it means, it's a validation of doing this on a small scale. Because I was competing, not necessarily in the category, but Kraft, Cabot, you know, huge industrial cheesemakers are competing in the same competition as us. So, and I would venture to say I may be the smallest dairy that won an award. I know of someone very similar size, but I think she's a little bit bigger. So it validates that you can be as small as I am, grade B, without fancy equipment, and still make really good cheese. That's what it means to me.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lois Reichert with Reichert's Dairy Air. Right now, we should probably also give recognition to another Marion County cheesemaker, Frisian Farms.
Yes, Frisian Farms placed third in the smoked cheese category for their smoked Gouda.
It's hard for me to resist either yours or their cheeses. There's some great cheeses coming out of here.
There really are, and also with Milton Creamery, they didn't win anything this year, but they make a phenomenal cheddar, and they're known for that. And the cheddar that they age that's made in Missouri, the raw milk bandaged cheddar called Flory's Truckle. Have you ever had that?
No.
Oh, if you ever get a chance. It's the best cheddar you'll ever eat. It did win first in its category.
And where are they out of?
The cheese is actually made in Missouri. But then it's aged in Iowa by Milton Creamery because they're right on the state line. So they were. It's another Mennonite company that makes the cheese, and then Milton's are Mennonite too.
So what was it like having people here to tour your facility?
Well, it was nerve-wracking at first, getting ready for it, but because we get a list of the people coming, so we knew they were from big companies, you know, a couple from France. But everybody was so nice. I was worried because I'm so small that, you know, they might not take what I did seriously or wonder why I was on this tour, but they tasted the cheese. They were very enthusiastic. They had a lot of questions. In fact, we had to rush them out of here. There was not enough time to answer all the questions they had to see what they wanted. So really, really enjoyed it. The tour that included me went to Blue Gate Farm first. So Jill Bebout and Sean Skian, who are neighbors and we work very closely together. Then they came here and then they went to Peachtree Brewery. And then we had a lunch there at Peachtree. We had Steve Kuhn serve his barbecue made with pork from Lucky George Farm in Derby, who takes all my whey. So whey-fed pork, Steve fixed his wonderful people were raving about the barbecue. The French people were like, is this a typical Iowa thing? And they loved it. And then I had the goat milk roasted cherry ice cream that the Outside Scoop makes in Indianola. Have you ever tasted it?
No.
My goodness. I never had either. He's been making it for 2 or 3 years with my cheese, but I'd never tasted the ice cream, so I got it for the tour. And, oh, my goodness, it's so good. Anyway, so that was great. Then there were four tours altogether, and three of them actually had Marion County local contacts, which I thought was cool. The ones that went to La Quercha first came to Crooked Gap Farm just down the road to see Ethan's woodlot and pastured pigs, and then they went back to the La Quercha facility for a tour there. And then Frisian Farms, they went to Frisian Farms, and they went to Tassel Ridge for lunch, and then to Ulrich's in Pella. So Marion County was seen by a lot of people last week from all over the world.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful tour.
Well, I hope people were happy. So,
being the scale you are with the success that you have, you probably can't make enough cheese.
It's problematic. It really is. And it's kind of a mixed blessing. I can't, and I have to do what works for me to pay the bills, which is primarily farmers market sales. I have retailers, but they're very understanding about how much I have available, because the wholesale prices are basically a break-even price. So going to farmers market works. Des Moines Farmers Market has gotten better every year of the 10 years that I've done it for me. We did the same day as the tour, so it was the night before the conference started. They had a cheese crawl where people that were here for the conference would go from bar to bar to bar, and local or regional cheesemakers. Frisian and I were at a bar, and some other friends from Missouri and Illinois and other places were at other bars. But there were a lot of people coming through sampling. And all night long, that's all I did was tell people, no, I don't send cheese to New York. No, I can't send cheese to you in Boston. No, I can't send cheese to you in California. So it makes you feel good, but I guess the purpose of this is teaching me how to say no, which I need to work on.
When somebody wants to try it locally, where can they get it?
Coffee Connection is your best bet. I try to keep a stock there. It's also possible if there's a kind that I don't stock there. The European style, I don't stock there because they're just not as popular locally. You can buy that off the farm, but I ask that you please call first, because most weeks we sell out of everything on Saturday and I have to start over. So if you just drive out here to buy cheese, I probably am not going to have any. So always call ahead if you'd like to buy off the farm.
So think back 10 years ago when you really started, sell it. Did you do it all over again?
Depends on the day. there are definitely things I do differently. The reality is, and it's a nice thing about becoming more involved with the American Cheese Society, that I have made good friends with a lot of peers that are small-scale cheesemakers. Again, I'm probably the smallest, but we all universally still struggle with making money. Every year you think it's going to be a little different this way, but somehow it always evens out. It's just not a real profit. You do it out of love. And I used to think I was doing something wrong, but now I know everybody struggles with it. What I would not change is that I have had friends that have had good success that decided to go bigger so that they could tell people yes. And again, almost universally, they feel stuck now because they've taken on debt, and they feel kind of trapped, like they're on a treadmill. They just have to keep going regardless because they've got debt to pay. And I don't want that hanging over my head. That would suck all the fun out of it. So we're going to stay the same size or smaller next year.
Thanks to Lois Reichert for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.